You know what? You guys have an awesome, awesome worship team. Let's give them a good hand. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You guys can have a seat. Amen. Thank you guys so much. You guys are awesome. Beautiful, beautiful worship team. You know, I've been to multiple churches. And man, when you go into a sanctuary and there's worship like this, anything can happen. How many can say amen to that? And I want to also thank my friends, Pastor Robert and Sister Veronica, and the family of Victor Arch Pomona for allowing us to come and be part. We're family. How many can say amen to that? Before anything, we are a big global family. And you heard the United We Can reports. I think the coordinator and the gifts, awesome. You guys did a great job. I want to take a picture with you guys. Amen. Because we want to let our receiving end know there's a church called Victor Outreach Pomona. And it really encourages them because now they're taking their place in their giving. And we want to make sure not only are we a receiving end, but we continue to become, stay a giving end. And that's a beautiful thing. And again, my wife couldn't be here this morning. We've been on the go. We just had our second baby, January the 11th, on my birthday. Come on, somebody. So I don't think I'll be celebrating birthdays no more. I think we didn't even celebrate it at all. But you know what? I'm so grateful that God has trusted us to have children. We've been married for 11 years, and we've been to 5 countries. We lost 2 in 2 different countries through miscarriages. And God saw us fit after 10 years of being married to have children. Let's give Jesus a hand of praise for that. And I say, God, why won't you give me children? But now that it makes sense as the calling unfolds and the plan unfolds. And this child will never see your daddy stick another needle in my arm. Come on, somebody. This child will not see daddy behind prison walls. Why? Because we have victory homes that work. I'm a product of our victory homes. My wife's a product of the victory homes. We have answer that when you come to our homes, we don't give you a program, we give you the answer. And that is Jesus. So I thank God for victory homes. How many, if you've been through our victory homes, lift your hands. Woo, come on somebody, praise. Let's give Jesus a hand of praise. We love you guys. Is the gang in the house. God's anointing our generation. And I know God has put a heavy responsibility through our movement to this third wave generation. Remember, we're all part of the wave. Because third wave is not a age bracket. We still need to glean from the wisdom to transmit to the third way so that we can be more effective in the work of the ministry. So again, we thank God for the God's anointing our generation. I know God has taken us to new levels and new places and more countries. And again, we want to continue to stay in tune with the vision, but also united in the direction that God has taken us. How many can say amen to that? And also, I send you greetings from Pastor Sonny and Sister Julie, our founders. And they are awesome. They're super, super awesome. I have the privilege with my wife and my family to work right there with his leadership at Alcanza Victoria, Panama. I was already positioning myself to take a church, not once, but twice. And I had a meeting with them, one of many. In San Jose, we had some Chinese food. And he says, what's your vision? What are you looking at? Well, Pastor, I want to start a church. I feel like I can do this city. And I'm not going to name cities. Come on, somebody. But I can start this city. And I already got a strategy. And this is what I want to do. He liked it and everything. He goes, well, everything you've done in different countries, do you want to continue to reach more countries? Or do you want to stay an upsetting that is domestic, which that's not bad, but God is giving me a certain route to continue to go to different countries to help plant churches. So I told Pastor Sonny, we are totally open. Open for the greater calling, for a greater purpose, because we want to continue to keep our global movement alive. And from coming to learn in Panama and Pastor Sonny imparting and transmitting, I came with the challenge to me and my wife to be the directors of the MTC right there in Panama. I want to see if you guys can play a little bit of the clipping. It's only 1 minute, but it's a video. Pay attention to the screen. Come on, they can give Jesus a hand of praise for that. And for all that, you know, we had it in the city of Whittier, Victor Arch Whittier. It was located there, but now we have our leadership, Third Wave Campus. And the reason why, because God is raising up a Third Wave generation, and we want to make sure that we retain our young adults. How many can say amen to that? Because if we don't retain them, the world will. So God is giving our founder and our elders the wisdom to make sure that we retain them, so we have this campus, and there's bigger things ahead that I don't want to say till Pastor Sonny says, you know what, this is what we're doing. But God is going to do big things in Victor Outreach International so that we can set up our third generation for the next 50 years. And so they relocated the MTC to foreign soil. So now people are going to experience the missionary experience, but also they're going to get exposed to the base building training, cross-culture ministry, where we get to evangelize to a different culture, disciple different culture, and learn biblically how to produce the right results, the God results. Somebody can say amen to that. So it's officially open. We got 7 right now that are there. It's geared towards Latin America, but it's open for the world. And if you have a calling, if you say, you know what, I'm called to do a work in another country, talk to your pastors, you know, and get your pastors' approval. And we are looking for more candidates to go out and experience what God is doing in Panama. And after that, you're there for 6 months to a year, or you go out for 2 years, then you can decide whether to stay and start the church locally or do something domestically, or you can continue to go. It's all up to the person. That's why the calling to missions came directly from the Lord, and God has given us a global vision. How many can say amen to that? So it's a personal calling from God, and God is the one that confirms the calling. And they asked me, why do you continue to go out, you and your wife? Why don't you guys settle down, get a white picket fence, get a dog named Spot, you know, come on, son. Right? And you guys, come on, I think it's time you're a dad now. Logically, you're a dad. Let your kids, you know, come up. And, you know, so I said, you know what? I would do that, but when God says go, and confirms and affirms that he has called me at a missionary level, I can't say no. Remember, I was shooting up heroin. How can I say no to the one who delivered me? I had jobs. I had good jobs, making almost $2,000 every 2 weeks. Had 4 cars. Had the furniture. I've experienced the American dream, and I love it, and it's great, and nothing against that. But I made a conscious choice with my wife, a mutual agreement, because my wife is also called with the family to go. And that has been a blessing And that has been the it's been a dream. It's been a dream. And right there in Panama, we've been in existence for 4 years, three in our second location, and we're now breaking 300 in attendance on Sunday mornings. Let's give Jesus a hand of praise for that. Why numbers? Well, 300 souls and there's families. Why? Because when we start thinking numbers, we're thinking about getting a new facility. We're thinking about expansion. We're thinking strategically. Though we value the soul and we value the families, we want to stay on the cutting edge in planting cutting edge third wave churches. And if you don't know Panama, it's a, you know, Spanish-speaking country. My wife doesn't speak Spanish. She understands 25%, and she's going into the 15% of speaking Spanish. Yo hablo pocho. Come on, somebody. Amen. Yo hablo pocho. And again, I was there 60% Spanish. Pocho, come on now, from the calles, you know, right? But little by little, I opened up to the team. Listen, man, if I see something wrong, please let me know so I can continue to improve. So from 60, I'm at 75% in el español. Gloria a Dios. ¿Cuánta familia hispana está en la casa esta mañana? So it's a language barrier, but it's not a language barrier. When you got Jesus, when you got the vision, when you speak the language, when you've been trained and discipled by the men and women of God of our ministry, we can go to any country around the world. And you know what's our driving force? You know what's our power spot? You know what gives us a cutting edge? That we are a family first before anything. When the people feel the warmth of our ministry, the love of Christ through our ministry, the people are like, wow. Because they look at Americans a certain way. The gringos. Come on, somebody. They do. That's just reality. But we don't go in the spirit of the world. Because we're not of the world. We go in the spirit of Almighty Jesus, the power of the Holy Ghost. We go under the anointing that breaks every yoke of bondage. Crack cocaine is the thing over there. Panama was once upon a time the Gran Colombia. It's where the canal, that's where it gets its global influence. That there's a canal where all the vessels travel, all the shipments travel. The cruise ships travel, but it was once the Gran Colombia, but they came independent November the 3rd in 1903, in November in 1903. And also, there was a lot of residue from Pablo Escobar, so there's a lot of transporting cocaine. There's a lot of cocaine in Panama. They're very territorial. It's a multicultural location. It's the first country and the economy in all Latin America. It's the pathway to Latin America. And again, it's violent. There's a high level of prostitution. You got the rich and you got the poor meshed together. There's over 4 million people. 1 million is all foreigners, but the rest are Panamanians. And the Panamanians are a combination of people from the Caribbean islands, from Europe, from Jamaica, from Holland. There's Panamanians all over the world. And again, God has put it in Pastor Sonny's heart to start a work there. It's a base church. Everybody say a base church. And the strategy is this. The strategy is to plan a model that is going to influence all Latin America. Because Pastor Sonny believes that there's a sleeping giant in Mexico. When you think about Mexico, we're thinking about over 80 churches in Mexico when they first started. So Mexico has the spirit of sending. They have the spirit of multiplication. They got a spirit like, let's get to work and let's work hard. But the problem is how you build determines who disciples you. How you establish determines your leadership. Whatever you do defines the mentality and the quality of how you do the work of the ministry. So Pastor Sonny got a team from Mexico, Mexicali, got a team from Vegas, team members from, I'm from originally from Victor Chigrock, Pastor Ollie and Sister Mary, and he brought us all together because Pastor Sonny operates upon the apostolic anointing. He has an apostolic anointing where he gels teams together. An ex-drug addict, gang member, delivered and saved, going through the process of discipleship. And that's what I'm going to talk about this morning, discipleship. Because we have a revival that has come upon the ministry in such a way that if we don't position ourselves towards discipleship, we will lose out. How many can say amen to that? So he has customized a team with the right guys, with the right giftings, in the right location. We operate under the fivefold. Ephesians chapter 11. Pastor Sonny is one of the best Christian leaders around the world. I would read it on books. I would hear from others. I would see it at the conference. But now I get a close range how he operates. Humble man, but sees so far that God has given him the spiritual eyes to see where the times is taking us, where we got to be strategic. We got to be relevant with the times. We don't want to lose our cutting edge. How many can say amen to that? We're not a drug addict church. How many can say amen to that? We're a church that is modernized. We're a church of great worship. We're a church of great facilities. We're a church that is inviting and so welcoming that people of different levels of life come to our churches. See, not everybody's a drug addict. But children, their children. Oh, come on, somebody, right? Some of you guys are probably here because your son and daughter were getting high. They were stuck at the Motel 6. Come on, somebody, man. Till Jesus set them free. But now because you fell in love with the vision, you fell in love with the church, how many can say, man, this is my family. This is where I belong. Pastor Sonny just got an award from Los Angeles, California at the mayor's office not too long ago, and he was awarded for his work. And one of the things that they mentioned, it started in East LA, but now it's a worldwide movement. How do you get people from East LA on the journey to start a worldwide movement? See, God uses the most ridiculous drug addict, stinking drug addict, hope to die dolphin, to produce a movement around the world. You know why? Because God gets all the glory. No man, no woman, nothing will ever take the glory of God, because the glory belongs to him. And we have to be very careful about that. I've been humbled by God. I'd rather get humbled by my pastor before God humbles me. All the glory belongs to Jesus. How many can say amen to that? Why do we battle so much? Why do we struggle to come to church? Why do we struggle to give to what belongs to God? Why is it so hard to take our commitment to another level of commitment? You know why? Turn to your neighbor and say, why? Turn to your other neighbor and say, why? Because of the lack of discipleship. Because of the lack. Everybody say lack. See, if I go live at your house, mom and dad have rules in the house. How many can say amen to that? We get up at this time, throw away the trash, make sure you pick up all your mess, and you better make sure that those dishes are not only washed, but you dry them and put them back. How many been there? And if you don't, they look at you like, man, irresponsible. Flojo. easy. But you know what? Those are principles and values that are being instilled. It's teaching us a certain way of life. You know what it's called? Hold on, I feel the prophetic coming. It's called responsibility. We have a spiritual responsibility. We have a divine commandment, and we have an obligation to fulfill. Matthew 28, 19. If you want to title this message, 2020 Discipleship. Matthew 28, 19. Therefore, go and make disciples out of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus made disciples and then commissioned them to go and do likewise. We have a DNA in our ministry. We have a DNA in our Christianity. The Bible says that we were made in the image of God. The Spirit of God lives inside of us. And a DNA is a cell system that makes us who we are. The DNA of a person is able to be traced to his or her heritage. The DNA that we have can connect us to our parents, our grandparents, and all the way back to our ancestors. In the same way we have a natural DNA, we also have a spiritual DNA. A DNA that consists of discipleship. One of our values in our ministry, from the pioneers to the Joshua to the third wave, is discipleship. It's not man-made, but it's biblically, it is mentioned, and Jesus is the one that commanded us. It's not a suggestion. Oh, mija, can you go do this? No, it's, mija, go do this. Oh, mijo, can you go do this? No, mijo, go do this. It's a directional divine command. It's not an opinion. It's not a suggestion. It's a direct divine command from the Lord to make discipleships. When Jesus was here on planet Earth, although he ministered to everyone, but he invested his time into a certain group, and that certain group was called his disciples. It's hard to disciple people that don't want to be discipled. And sometimes us that come from business, from the corporate world, you might be a supervisor. You might call big shots and make a lot of moves. And it's sometimes hard to get discipled to someone that doesn't have your certain expertise. You know why you have a problem with that? Because it's because we're leaders. You're a leader. You're a leader. But you got to come out of that corporate world and come into the spiritual world. Because God wants to lead you through people that you don't look at them like disciples, but they want to, God's using them to change the character of your person so that Christ can increase, so that you may decrease. And the outcome is this, that when you go back to your work, you're going to be an effective supervisor. Because the reality is that you probably think that you're just, that's as far as you're going to go. No, no. There's improvement in the kingdom of God. Our role on this earth, before you're a pastor, you're a leader, or whatever you call yourself, your defined role on this earth is that, number one, you are a disciple. A student who pays attention attentively to the words and the teachings of Christ Jesus. If you're not being discipled, or you're not discipling someone else, this is for males and this is for females. This is for parents and this is for children. This is for all levels. If we're not being discipled, we're not discipling others. My question is this: What are we doing in the church house? That's why we have, I thank God for the body of Christ. There's different denominations, different churches, and I thank God. And there's mega churches. But one thing about Victory Outreach, we believe in the whole Bible. Some churches won't disciple at that level. Why? Because we don't want to offend nobody. Offending, the spirit of offense is the worst enemy to your spiritual growth. We have to get discipled. Can I share something and be transparent? I'm learning how to be a dad. I don't even know what I'm doing. When I'm studying, I used to study by myself. Now I have a baby on this one and a baby over here. And my wife's healing while I'm trying to get ready for the preaching. I don't know what I'm doing. So I surround myself with people that are Christians that know what they're doing when it comes to raising children. Why? Because there's always room for improvement. How many can say amen to that? It's this DNA of discipleship that has been passed down from generation to generation and has been very strong value within our ministry of Victory Outreach International, Third Wave. God's anointing our generation. Listen, we are getting a lot of impartation. We're getting a lot of favor because we're emphasizing that we don't want to lose our third generation. Okay? But we cannot neglect that discipleship is uncut. It has to stay pure. And we're looking at the third wave generation to have that student posture to learn from the ones that have been seasoned, experienced, been through the test of times, and you're still standing in the presence of God today. I share that because, wow, if you're not careful, you can receive it and project it in a certain way that you feel like someone older than you cannot disciple you. Oh, no, I'm being discipled down by the gang leaders. No, that's not it. We learn according to our calling. What disciples are going to complement the direction that God has given us on a personal level? You know, in the world, in the system, everybody made resolutions. And the universities, they're setting themselves up. Okay, what's my career look like in 2020? My financial life, my health life, how's my fitness doing? They cover all physical needs. But one thing that they forget, where is my walk with the Lord? And we can't lose that. So we need to position ourselves to learn so that we can grow and become more effective in this third wave generation. How many can say amen to that? God mentioned God's method of discipleship is people. People discipling people. And I think that we all need to work in is how to build a relationship. That's the foundation of discipleship. How to connect with people. Respectfully connect with people. Invest in people. And die to ourselves so that people may know that it is not us, but it is Christ who lives in us that is doing the work, and it is not the arm of the flesh. We need to build holy, set apart, men with men, women with men, and relationships. Why? Because that's our DNA. We don't want to lose that. I value all the men and women here that have been here for a long time, serving faithfully. You have a wealth of gold. Some of you guys, the enemy has closed your mouth for so many years that you can't even participate because you feel like you're not connected. Let me tell you, that's the biggest lie of the devil. You got a wealth of wisdom. The power of God is upon you. You got the promises of God. God needs you to step up in 2020 and begin to disciple. so that we can stay connected. No family member left behind. See, Christ envisioned something beyond his day and time. He envisioned an extension, his very being, an expansion of his calling. This was his mission, method, and his purpose, to connect himself to willing people. Look at family, I don't have all my credentials, but I believe in education. But when you're willing and obedient and you take it like it is and you learn from season to season, from level to level that God takes you in, God will raise you up. I've been discipled by Africans. Come on, somebody. I've been in Liberia where there's no running water. There's no electricity. Liberia, I was in West Liberia for almost 5 years. Liberia, Nigeria. As a single man and also with my wife. Getting discipled by Africans. And I was prideful. You're not going to tell me how to do it. I was just immature because I was in the home for 5 years, and from 5 years straight into the missionary field. But you know what? When it's biblical and it complements the direction of our ministry, it's okay. We got to be careful about those ones that disciple you and still let you drink. It's okay to have a cup of wine. You gave me a cup of wine, I'm going to ask for the bottle. And from the bottle, give me some good Yesca. Come on, somebody, amen. I don't even know the terminology now because they went to like from cushion to Christmas trees. Come on, somebody, right? We got to be careful because the world is discipling as we speak. The radio station is discipling. TV is discipling. But my abuelito and my abuelita, they always taught me this way. It's okay. That's why God gave this Levitical woman a son by the name of Noah, Moses, for a certain season of his life where he had to go to the palace to learn something that the mother couldn't give him. It's called being open. You know what Pastor Sonny's definition of being effective is? It's being open. So, from being a slave boy to being a prince in the palace to becoming a slave Hebrew to going to the wilderness, God took them from different seasons to learn. He gave them the intelligence at the palace, because remember, he had to use a lot of mathematical numbers to build a tabernacle. Come on, somebody. His mom couldn't give it to him, but the palace did. So God stripped him of all his riches in the wilderness to humble him from the corporate world, to get him down as a student, as a man of God that was going to serve God with the right posture, with the right attitude, to get discipled and write the first 5 books of the Bible. Huh? Come on, somebody. How many are ready to get discipled? The method of Christ to choose to extend himself was through discipleship, by revealing himself to willing and available people. That assimilates the Lord's very character and nature. I was in South Africa, and Pastor Sonny asked me, how do you disciple people? Well, Pastor, I disciple them to Christ, and then I disciple them onto my pastor. Oh, you got the first one right, but you got the second one wrong. You disciple them to Christ. What does that look like? Forgive your enemy. Pray for those that persecute you. Don't take it personal. Don't come to church because of that person. Come to church because of God. Some people leave the church because there's someone in here that you feel uncomfortable. This church is imperfect until Jesus steps in. That's it. And you look, if I showed you a video, oh my God.
It's called the grace. La misericordia de Dios. We have to be people that carry a certain spirit of being teachable. Don't walk around like you arrive. That's a deadly posture before the presence of God. They were talking about earlier about appearance. We look good on the outside, but inside we're hurting. Married couples, sometimes it's hard to get discipled because your wife doesn't allow you to get discipled. Insecurity. Somebody can say amen to that. My wife was like that. And I was like that. I didn't want no one to come into my private world. Because me and my wife know everything. We're in our honeymoon phase. What is the pastor going to tell us? My wife was like, and I say this generally because that was 3 years ago. I mean, our third year being married now is 11. But I'm sharing my vulnerabilities to share hope with you. I want to share some hope with Victor Arch Pomona. If God can use a foolish ex-drug addict like myself, God can surely use you, your son, your daughter, your marriage, the church, because we serve a faithful, mighty God. My wife called the cops on me. Oh my God. Come on, let's get the donuts. Vamos a acomodar ahorita. Why family? Why? I'm talking to you like a brother. I'm in a living room setting. I'm talking to you because you're my family. I want you to make it because you're beautiful in the eyes of God. You're precious in the eyes of the Lord. You've been called for such a time like this because there's no way possible that you're a mistake. God called you with purpose. God appointed you. God called you. And God is going to raise you up. We're family. We're family. That's when you know there's an intimacy. Thank you, Jesus. And I want to respect the time, or else I won't come back again. Come on, somebody. I had a lot to say, but I really feel like we need to really position ourselves to get work with. There's multiple reasons why people don't want to get discipled. I don't trust people. I have no knowledge of the Word of God. I feel insecure. Maybe you feel shame and guilty because there's one thing that if I say something, is the world going to know? Let me tell you something. Man's opinion does not determine your eternity. That voice of that person that you've been hearing for so long does not determine where God wants you to go. That person is going to go back to the grave. But the Spirit is going to raise up before the Maker and hold an account. Listen to God. I've been hurt. Me and my wife have been hurt by leadership. We've been hurt by ministers. Why? Because we come from the streets. We've never been raised properly. The streets raised us. But now Victory Outreach International is putting the right people in the right places, in the right seasons of our lives because God is sovereign. You think you're hiding, but God is putting people in your life so that you can make a difference, make a change, and raise up because you have been called by God. You might sit in the back, or you're probably the ones that go and come out. Let me tell you something. God puts the right people in your place. At your workplace. I had a job making $2,000 every 2 weeks. And they called me the Hallelujah. We would have lunch. Hey, would you like to pray for the food? Has anybody ever been there? Or when they're sex talking, and you're like, you know what? just walk away nicely, not talking back. Because some of you guys get crazy. Come on, somebody. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, I think my wife's calling me. Temptation. Girls trying to get at me at my job site. And you come home to your wife, honey, how was work today? Vice versa. It's tough. It's a tough world, family. It's hard. We're just trying to fight this stinking flesh and keep it under subjection. Do you want Christ to rise and live within you? Well, we got to put that person of who we are. You know who you are when nobody sees you. That's who you really are. That's the real you. Watching Netflix all day. Come on, somebody. Right? Facebook in it. Instagram in it. I fight with my wife. Hey, what are you putting? Me, I got a post. I got a post. But at the end of my workplace, Pastor, if you guys can all stand. Pastor Sonny asked me to go to South Africa. I went to my job. And the guy that would pick on me so much. I mean, there was like 4 or 5 times where I got hot. I was Christian cussing. Come on, somebody, man. Walks outside of the door. And I was like, man, I want to sock this guy up. You guys ever felt like that? I'm talking to the women right now. You guys ever felt like that? What did I do? And God revealed it to me. He goes, it's not you who they hate. It's me who they hate, who's inside of you. Because people that are not serving God are going to act like they're allergic to God. Like, ugh. I remember before coming to Christ, I would change the channels. And TBN would be on. And I would change it quick because I didn't want to hear it. And that's how we are when we're wrong, non-believers. Not that we're better than them. We're trying to win them with our love. I cried. I went to pastor. This is like, oh. He goes, I want you to learn what it is to be in a workplace so that you can be relevant with the people. That was the wisdom behind this whole, why do you want me to come back to? And when I resigned, I put in my letter, my email, typed it all up. He called me to his office, and he goes, and I sat down, and I told him, listen, I just want to thank you. Oof. I told him, I want to thank you, man, for the opportunity. You know, I feel like if I was like, but I was just trying to like, because I prayed before that, and I got people to pray for me. There's power in prayer. And he says, you know what? Out of the 14 years that I've been here, nobody has ever told me that they appreciated me, like you, like that, oh, woo. You know? Well, basically, he was so hard on people that he was so hurt. So he had a defensive mechanism, like he knows how to keep, he's a leader, but not in Christianity. And he says, come here, man, and he gave me a hug, and he was broken. And you know what he says? Wherever you're going, when you come back, you got your job back. That was in 2011. And I say that to say this. I wouldn't have made it if I wasn't being discipled. Whoever disciples you, you're a reflection of your effectiveness. We follow models. Not all of us are perfect, but we can learn from one another. You know what gets in our way? Our ego. Our pride, our arrogance. I'm offended. Listen, family, bury that thing. Allow God to heal your heart. Some people won't forgive you. You know why? Because they don't have what you have this morning. You have Jesus. And I've got to forgive you, God. I'm going to do what you call me to do and pray for them. That's why Peter asked Jesus, how many times will I forgive them? 70 times 7. The more you do it, it becomes a habit. And when it becomes a habit, it becomes part of your character. And when it becomes part of your nature will attract God's favor upon your life wherever you go. How many want God's favor upon their lives? I want you to lift up your hands right there where you're at. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we worship you, God. We worship you. We worship you.